In a world of EMS podcasts, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast for EMTs and paramedics. Transmitting the latest EMS news, trends, and topics, turn down your scanners and turn up your speakers to join Jim Hoffman, Josh Knapp, and Dave Brenner in their latest podcasting journey.
Hey everybody, welcome to EMS Office Hours. I am Jim Hoffman, as always. This is sort of a special little Sunday morning edition. So we'll see how many people jump on here live with me today. And today I am joined by Jennifer Givens. Jennifer, thanks for popping in today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know I was talking to you sort of before we started the show here. Just telling you that I've been trying to get people who are paramedics or EMTs who sort of have a talent or a passion about something that's sort of that's outside of EMS, and to just sort of highlight that there's more to us as providers than just being on that ambulance, and that a lot of us have talents that a lot of people don't even know about. I know when I was in a truck and I've had many partners where you start to talk to them, you realize, oh, this person does a lot of different things besides being a paramedic. I knew one guy who blew glass. He was, you know, be a glass blower and just kind of odd things you never even like think about. One guy ran a one of those online gambling sites. That's what he was doing on his phone, you know, on the truck. Like, what the hell are you doing over there? He's like, oh, I run an online gambling site, and it was legal, but it was just very time consuming. He was on that, and that was like his little thing that he did. And just things that people do that they can actually stay off of the ambulance a little bit, you know. So I want to talk a little bit about your passion, your talent, which I personally think you're very talented with that, with the singing and the songwriting. And some people listen. I did get a couple of messages that were like, Jim, why are you having somebody who's a singer on your EMS, you know, podcast? What's so EMS related about it? And I'm like, yeah, okay, but if I had like Taylor Swift on here, I'd have a million people going, I want to be on that. I want to show up, you know. So maybe one day you'll be a Taylor Swift for EMS providers. So I know you're still a medic, right?
I am.
All right. And you're doing what, community paramedicine?
I did that for a bit. I am now at Brunswick. I'm back on the truck there in Brunswick EMS eventually.
Okay.
They had talked to me about at some point starting a community paramedicine program.
Okay.
We'll see.
That costs a lot of money.
It does. That's why I say we'll see.
Yeah, lots of. I know that in the past I've seen people who try to start those community paramedic programs. It's such a lot of money, and they get the initial funding, and then it becomes a struggle to keep the funding afterwards.
It is. So it's continuous grant writing, which I do, and so you know, you do that.
There's another talent that people need.
I can't believe I said that. I don't want to voice that too much.
That is something that over the years, you know, you get people who look for someone to write grants for, you know, for them. I know years ago I did one for an agency I worked for in upstate New York, and I wrote a grant for them. Never got the grant. Probably sucked at writing it. But, you know, it's just but it is, like you said, you kind of don't want people to know that you can kind of have the gist of doing that, because they're always trying to, you know, get you to do it. Oh, you've done it before, so let's let you do it again. It is very time consuming. You have to know the ins and outs of all that. I did even a website, I think, right? EMSgrants.com. I think that, well, it used to be anyway, it was part of the EMS1.com sort of family of sites. And they have a whole thing there for grants and stuff. So just something to know. So you can go bother Jennifer to write a grant for you. You can go there and you know, figure that out. I see Willie, of course, joining us again. Willie, thanks for popping in, bro. I appreciate you coming in and taking a few minutes to out of your Sunday morning to join us here. So one of the reasons why, I was a friend of yours on Facebook, and I started to see some of the things you were doing, just sort of singing a little bit and doing a lot of cover stuff. And I was like, oh, she's really got a nice voice and she a nice way of putting some of the covers that she's doing. And then I started seeing sort of original stuff you were putting out there as well. I was like, oh, wow, she's really kind of, you know, focusing in on this, you know, and kind of making this something that's beyond just doing a cover song. You know, I mean, I do karaoke on myself and I'm like, okay, no one wants to record me for anything. And I actually just, I before we came on today or I think yesterday, the day before, I was looking at some of the stuff and I saw you did a cover of Faithfully, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to play that. It was really good. And I'm running kind of copyright problems. So I said, I better not put it on here and have people come after me. But I'll tell you.
As long as you give credit.
Yeah, I guess, right? But
yeah, it's fine.
I was like, wow, that's a really nice version that you did of it with the acoustic guitar and stuff like that. So I encourage people to do that. And in the show notes, everybody, as usual, I will have links to everybody, you know, to all of Jennifer's stuff. I'll put a Spotify link in there, link to her Linktree account, link to her Facebook page itself, the music page anyway, so people can kind of check out a lot of these songs. That'd be pretty cool. So what, have you always been into this, or is this something that just started coming out, you know, later on in life?
No, I've been singing since before I can remember. With my, I have a twin, identical twin sister.
Oh, really?
And,
okay.
Yeah, I do. And we look identical, except, you know, different hair. And so she and I and our brother, who is a year and a half older than us, we've been singing in the gospel arena since we were tiny. And
oh, cool.
We come from a very musical family. My family up in Cherokee County, they did bluegrass. So I had that on one side of my family, and then on the other side of the family was Southern gospel. And so it was kind of this dual life and music growing up. We would do bluegrass on Saturday night and sing for Jesus on Sunday morning. So that's always been my life, is music, centered around music. And, you know, I have my parents and my grandfather especially to thank for that. It was always, it wasn't just
pushing you into it, or just also having a little bit of a voice and a musical talent.
Yeah. Who? I'm sorry.
Your parents and grandparents, were they musically inclined as well?
Very much so. My grandfather, at one point had the opportunity to go play with, Bill Monroe in bluegrass many years ago and sing with him, but he had 6-7 children at that time, and so he couldn't leave them. He sang, had a great voice. My mother had a beautiful voice. My father still sings. So yeah, I come from a long line of musicians, and even cousins who are very musical as well.
Oh, cool.
Even the ones who don't sing, they're in arts in some form or fashion.
Right. Yeah.
My life was surrounded with arts.
That's pretty nice. That's cool. So when you start the Sunday morning stuff, do you still do that?
Not as much.
No. I know I was brought up with Catholic, and now when I go to church on Sundays, I go to like the Christian church, and they've got the Christian rock band type stuff going on, cool. You know. And I'm just always amazed, because a lot of them are such good performers and good singers. And I'm like, wow, these people are really talented, you know.
They are.
And I'm like, I've never seen an American Idol or trying to get on The Voice or anything like that. They're always, you know, they kind of stick to that little niche that they're in, which is nice, right? It's good that they're not trying to get outside of that, you know.
No, because they do it for a different purpose. You know,
right.
They're serving the Lord. But I grew up in Pentecostal. So it was very strict, and, you know, it was everything that you did, you were going to go to hell. And so, you know, and so it was very, it was a fundamentalist kind of upbringing. And even though we would, you know, mom was the bluegrass side, and then my dad was the fundamentalist person.
Right. Okay.
The two together sometimes rubbed. Mm. But, you know, finally, I think we were about 17 or 18. Mom started taking us to a non-denominational church, and it was a little bit more relaxed, and then we could do more, you know, live a little bit more free and not in such a stringent environment. But we traveled around a lot. We sang gospel. mom had us singing everywhere. And, you know, so then there was an opportunity when my sister and I were very young to go sing for some executives, music executives. And mom's, you know, this guy fell in love with the idea of two little twin girls singing country music. Well, my dad didn't like that. And my mom was like, are my babies going to have to sing in honky tonks and stuff like that? Well, yeah. And mama said, no, not having it. So she said, y'all can, when you're 18, y'all can figure out what you want to do with music. Well, by the time we were 18 or 19, we had our eyes set on a different life.
And, right.
It wasn't until many years later that I got serious again about music.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm too old now.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's, did you ever break out into song on the ambulance or sing around?
Oh, sometimes. I'm not one of those people that, you know, just goes around just, you know, because I think sometimes it can get obnoxious.
Yeah.
You know, if I do all that, I really try to protect my musical world from.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Like I never went around broadcasting that. I sell these educational things for EMS people and I do, you know, some digital marketing stuff for businesses and stuff. And I never really run around broadcasting that. I always try to keep those two, you know, parts of my world separate. I don't know if that's a good thing. It depends upon, I guess, who you talk to, right? Some people are like, oh, you should really always sing your, you know, sing your talents and, you know, from the rooftops and tell everybody what you're good at, because you never know who you're going to connect with. But the other side of that, like you said, you don't want to be that, come off of like obnoxious and come off as like you're pushing something that nobody really cares about, you know, like that, you know?
Yeah.
The thing is that, you know, I never knew. I mean, I worked with you for a short time, but I never knew that this was something that you were
right.
passionate about. So it was so surprising to me when I came across that, you know, on the Facebook, you know, page and stuff. And actually, you just popped up in my feed one day, and I was like, "Whoa, I know this girl." And then, you know, started listening to it and came across a lot of it. So I think what I want to do, I don't want to keep people popping in here too long, but I like to at least play one of the songs that you have. I know you sent me a few. I like to play the one, and hopefully it'll come through. I'm gonna pop it up on YouTube and share my screen, but it's called The Other Side.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is there a story behind that before I do this, or is this just something that
That song's actually pretty special. They're all my songs are special to me. This one in particular, I wrote after my mother passed away.
Oh, okay.
I had a dream that I got to visit her in heaven, and she was sitting on the ground working the dirt like she would do in real life. And I got to visit with her for a little bit. And the song is a back and forth conversation with my mom.
Oh, okay.
And it was just a way for me, I think, to deal with that loss.
There's a lot of singers that do that. And like, even artists, like you said, artists and people that are very creative, they end up, you know, everything is very personal to them.
Sure.
And it goes back on relationships and family and all that stuff. And that's such a cool thing, you know, that you can kind of express that through the art, you know,
whether it's
music or drawing or poetry or writing or whatever it is.
Yeah. And it's, I try to write in an ambiguous way to where, you know, you can relate, you know, to other aspects of life. Like I had a person who had just come out of recovery for alcohol addiction, and they messaged me and said that this song spoke to them being on the other side of a situation. And so but that's the story behind why I wrote it, and I'm just thankful that other people can relate to some of the lyrics. So.
Cool. All right, listen, let me just pause here a second.
Sure.
I'm going to see if I can get this up. I know they changed the interface on me on this deal here. There you go. All right. All right. So this, like I said, this is The Other Side by Jennifer. And if you guys, I guess you can go to YouTube and hit the like button there. But like I said, I put links to all this stuff in. So I'm going to shut my pie hole and let this song play out. It's about a little over 4 minutes. So but I think it's one of the ones that I've enjoyed myself. And I hope people listening will stick through it and listen to the whole song.
Disciplined, lost their way.
Wow, really good song, I will tell you. I was thinking while it's playing, do you do all of the other stuff in the background as well?
The chanting or the music?
Chat. Do you do all the arrangements and stuff and the instruments, or how do you work that?
So the producer for this album is Jeff Fielder out in Seattle, and he did most of the instrumentation. We also had Jim Brock from Charlotte and Michael Musburger out west. I think he did drums on it, but mainly Jeff Fielder, who plays for the Amy Ray Band and Nancy Wilson of Heart. Mm-hmm. He did a great deal of the instrumentation on it.
Oh, cool.
And then the arrangement, yes, I generally have an idea or a concept for the arrangement. So I do some of the producing, but mainly Jeff Fielder just took my songs and to a next level.
Yeah.
He's just such a professional and unbelievably talented and creative.
Wow. So they take the music and then they just, I guess you send them a voice version.
I send a concept. Together. So I record, sometimes I'll record a concept at home in my home studio, mm-hmm. and I'll play guitar and keys, and okay. I might do a drum pad just to give the producer an idea of what I'm looking for. And, but what I play is never on the final track because nobody wants any of that mess. So I'll leave that to the professionals, and then I'll come back through and do a final vocal on it and background.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
I know a few years ago I wrote a song for my, fiance, and mm-hmm. I wrote the lyrics, and I thought, okay, now first it was like a poem. You know, I know that's kind of gay for some people out there, but, but then I ended up going on like GarageBand and just doing like a little bit of a concept of the music. And then I went on to these, freelancer sites, and I had somebody, write all the music for it, you know, for me, just a basic sort of piano track in the background. And then I found someone to sing it, you know, for me. That was like a minor thing that I did, you know, just one little thing and basic, you know, one piano thing. And it's challenging. So I can imagine that something like you're doing, you've got all the different instruments and trying to get it all together and, you know, the hook and all that stuff. It's, it's a process. You know,
it is. Some songs come easier to me than others. And it helps if you play at least a little bit of some instruments.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's really hard to have that discussion with other musicians.
Yeah. What sucks now is that I've seen some of the, there's like a service out there now who will write a song for you, like for your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or whatever. You give them a little story, and then they write the lyrics and they put music to it. It can be like a rap or country or different, engineers and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, you know, they're going to steal people's thunder with this computerized, you know, AI stuff going on.
Oh, there. Yeah. We were just having a discussion, me and some musicians, about that, where it's going to destroy music. You know, it's just going to take away all the authenticity of
the originality of it and stuff. And I'm sure even with this, a lot of the stuff that I've seen, some of the advertisements for that, where you can almost tell it's going to be a lot of the same sort of, underlying, theme of the music and the lyrics and stuff like that. So, but hopefully, people like you and other music artists that are out there keep going. You know, the AI doesn't steal people. Who was it that they did something, did a song, and the guy said, "That's not my song." Right, one of the rappers or something.
That was a rapper. Yeah, that was one of the rappers. I can't remember his name, but I just saw that. Yeah.
He did that. He was like, "What the hell is going on?"
And again,
these poor people are going to end up spending a lot of money on lawyers trying to protect their intellectual property and protect, their name. That's not me singing that. It's an AI version of me singing it. So
that makes me so angry seeing what's
going on. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Jennifer, thanks so much for popping in here. I hope people, didn't get a lot of, as many people jumping in as I had hoped, but that's okay because it just lives on forever. So that's a thumbs up. But this will be on the main side at emsofficehours.com. And I'll be sure to, like I said, put all the links to the way people can get in touch with you and your music and all that stuff in the show notes. And if you think of anything in the meantime, be sure to, you can send it over to me and I'll add it to the show notes. It'll probably be not next week, probably the week after, I'd say, when this will go live. And I'll let you know when that happens. And like I said, it'll be going on Instagram and all the other social media channels that I belong to. So I really appreciate you jumping in and kind of displaying some of this stuff. Is there anything you want to leave anybody with before we venture off, EMS or otherwise?
Other than just telling, you know, EMS folks what we already know, you've got to find an outlet. You got to find something else that you do outside of EMS, you know, so that you're not completely eat up with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so important. I don't care if it's something as simple as knitting, you know, something. Find something to do. Your world doesn't have to be revolved around these traumatic calls and adrenaline junkie situations, you know.
Yeah.
Find dopamine. Find a way to release dopamine.
Yeah, it's so true, though, because and like you just said, the knitting thing, I know people that would do that. Just some kind of an outlet, you know, to
anything
to help out. And I think it does pay off for people, you know. Yeah. All right, so we'll end it there. Thanks so much for joining me. Everyone, as always, I am Jim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours. Stay safe.